So as in a few days will be Gaur Purnima, the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they've decided that to switch the Bhagavatam class for the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We could all of us read and discuss a little bit about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They wanted me to read either from Madhya Lila or Antya Lila, so I decided to take Madhya Lila. Lord Chaitanya travels to the holy places. Unfortunately, it was a little mixed up in the verse. They wanted a verse. It's not supposed to be this verse, but anyway, it's okay. Krishna's arrangement. We'll still read the verse that I'd chosen, but I don't know what we should do. We should all chant this verse? Is that what we were going to do? Okay, so we'll, because there's supposed to be 98, first chapter 9, text 98, but it's chapter 9, text 7 and 8, and I think they've only put text 8 here, huh? Yeah. So, first we'll chant, Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda, Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda, Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Brinda. So we'll read this particular verse here. Sabe Vaishnava Haya Kahe Krishna Hari Anya Grama Nishtaraye Se Vaishnava Kari Sabe Vaishnava Haya Kahe Krishna Hari Anya Grama Nishtare Se Vaishnava Kari Sabe Vaishnava Haya Kahe Krishna Hari Anya Grama Nishtare Se Vaishnava Kari Sabe Vaishnava Haya Kahi Krishna Hari Anya Grama Nishtaraye Se Vaishnava Kari. Someone else, please. So I'll read the translation. As previously stated, of course, this is the two verses. As previously stated, all the residents of the villages visited by the Lord Chaitanya became Vaishnavas and began to chant Hari and Krishna. And this village, in this way, in all the villages visited by the Lord, everyone became a Vaishnav, a devotee. So I'll read the two other verses. In South India, there were many types of people. Some were philosophical speculators, and some were fruitive workers. But in any case, there were innumerable non-devotees. By the influence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these people abandoned their own opinions and became Vaishnavas, devotees of Krishna. So I'll move on to the verse that I was looking at. Of course, this is Lord Chaitanya who's touring the holy places in South India. And here, at this verse, he's gone to Sri Rangam, where he'll eventually meet different Vaishnavas, different devotees in Sri Rangam. So here, this particular verse, Mahaprabhu Puchila Tanre Suna Mahashaya Kan Arta Jani Tomara Ata Sukahaya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked the Brahmana, my dear sir, why are you in such ecstatic love? No, this is not, sorry. It's the next one. Anyway. Ecstatic love. Which portion of the Bhagavad Gita gives you so much transcendental pleasure? Vipra kahe murka ami sabdata najani sada suda gita padi guru agyamani. The Brahmin replied, I'm illiterate. And therefore, I do not know the meaning of the words. Sometimes I read the Bhagavad Gita correctly, and sometimes incorrectly, but in any case, I am doing this in compliance with the order of my spiritual master, purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a good example of a person who had become so successful that he was able to capture the attention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even while reading Bhagavad Gita incorrectly. His spiritual activities did not depend on material things such as correct pronunciation. Rather, his success depended on strictly following the instructions of his spiritual master. Yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tata goro tasyeti katita yarta prakashanti mahatmana. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Actually, the meaning of the words of the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam are revealed to one strictly following the orders of the spiritual master. They are also revealed to one who has equal faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, being faithful to both Krishna and the spiritual master is the secret of success in spiritual life. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshur Umani Tanyam Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Paramahansa Shedweta Garashva Sri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although this Brahmin was illiterate, a simple person, we could say, not simple in a sense of being foolish or incapable of doing things, but simple in a sense that he was not complicated, his mind was not complicated, and therefore he was not bewildered. Many times we see or we think that knowledge is a sign of advancement, but it is not always the case. Here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is recognizing not the scholarship of this person, this Brahmin, but he's appreciating his surrendered attitude. That his guru had asked him to read Bhagavad Gita. The person was illiterate. Earlier, you can read in this chapter that the several people were mocking him. What are you trying to do? What are you trying to accomplish? They knew that he couldn't read. Still, he was turning the pages. And this is what draw the attention to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that people were mocking him. Despite that, this person was attempting to do something that it seemed materially impossible. One time, actually, when they were writing and preparing, Prabhupada had prepared so many Chaitanya Charitamritas, and the devotees were so behind schedule, and Prabhupada was discouraged. He was telling them that if you don't print, and then how can I write? I'm writing, but you're so behind. I'm writing, you're just printing, but still you're behind. And I'm one person, you're so many, and still you cannot catch up. So Prabhupada was very discouraged in that sense. So Rameshwar, at the time, was in charge, and he decided to organize a schedule. The devotees would work 24 hours around the clock, skip Mangalarti, skip the whole program, skip everything, and try to catch up to all these books that Prabhupada had translated. But he came to Prabhupada and he presented the schedule. And Prabhupada was not pleased. He said, in this way you'll only print one book a month. That will not be sufficient. So then Rameshwar was bewildered. He said, well, Prabhupada, we can't do more than that. This is impossible. Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary. In other words, if the spiritual master tells you to do something, then you have to figure out how to do it. That is intelligence. Intelligence is not like today's society where you just juggle things around and you try to capture some attention. But real intelligence means that how to surrender to Krishna. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanamam mam prapadyate vasudeva savamiti samahatma sadulabaha. That after many, many births, one who is intelligent or one who has knowledge, he surrenders to Krishna, known to be the cause of all causes and all that is. So this is the real qualification of one who has knowledge. The real sign of knowledge is someone who is able to surrender to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, we know from reading Chaitanya Charitamrita that in his early days, he was known as Nimai Pandit. And he had studied so much grammar and logic and so forth, and he would actually play with this. He would debate with many scholars, and he had defeated many scholars. He also would always somehow capture Murari Gupta, and he would debate with Murari Gupta and defeat him. And a few days later, again, he would see him and he would grab him, and the point he had defeated on, he would again defeat and accept that point, and back and forth. To the point that Murari Gupta, although he was attracted to Chaitanya, he didn't want to see him. He would sometimes, like people were doing Harinam and the people crossed the street. You experience that, especially in the West, because they don't want to confront the devotees. Devotees are coming on Harinam, so they cross the street to avoid us. So similarly, Murari Gupta is like that. He would try to hide from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was thinking, such a qualified person, such a beautiful, handsome person, if only he could take to Krishna, it would be so nice. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya would be constantly, as Nimai Pandit, he would be debating so many people. And this was, of course, we know in Nadia, this was the activity, the sport. Just like we have so many sports now, soccer and hockey and whatever. In those days, debating logic, and was the goal. And then you would get some big title. So, one time this Keshava Kashmiri came to Navadvip because he knew this is a big place of learning. And he was already had a big title as a big pundit. So he thought, if I go there and I defeat these people, then again I will get more recognition, more reputation as a big Vijaya, big scholar. So the people of Nadia were somewhat scared that if we get defeated, our reputation will be diminished. So they thought what to do. So they were thinking, let's send Nimai. He's a young boy. At that time he was maybe 16 or so. So he can go there. And if he defeats this Keshava Kashmiri, then that'll be very nice. We'll gain so much reputation. And if he gets defeated, then we'll say he's just a boy. Now you have to defeat one of our real pundits. This was just a play. This was not serious. So somehow, it so happened that when Keshava Kashmiri came, he came to the Ganges and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there with some of his students, because already Chaitanya was teaching at that time. He was teaching Sanskrit and grammar and so forth, and he had some students. So this big Keshava Kashmiri came, and he noticed that this is Nimai Pandit. So he said, "Oh, you're Nimai Pandit? I've heard a little bit about you." But kind of diminishing his position. That, yeah, you're teaching a little bit of grammar, preliminary, very small beginner's grammar. So Mahaprabhu was very respectful. He said, "Oh, I've heard also of you. You're such a big pandit. And we may learn something from you." This is the Vaishnava's attitude. Trinadapi Sunichena. He's very humble, not proud. So maybe you can recite something. Please recite something, we'll hear and we'll learn something from you. So immediately, this person was very puffed up. He recited 100 verses glorifying the Ganges. Within an hour, 100 verses, can you imagine? Just like the wind. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu captured one verse, 67, 68 verse, I don't know. One verse. And then he recited that verse. So this pundit was surprised. How you've memorized this verse? I mean, I just went like the wind. Well, he said, well, some can speak it and some can memorize it. Sarasvati, she gives blessings to everyone. And he said, this verse, I don't know, I'm a fool, I'm a young student, but I've heard from others that, and therefore I can speak, that there's some good things about this verse and there's some bad things. So in this way, he diminished the pride of Keshava Bharati and he defeated him. In this way, later that person surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we see that sometimes knowledge is not the goal of the Vaishnava. Although we have many, many scriptures, so we're after knowledge. But that is not our goal, to acquire knowledge. Our goal is to surrender to Krishna. And the knowledge that we acquire is how to serve Krishna nicely, how to surrender more to Krishna. It's not something that we want to gain knowledge to become proud. We see Arjuna in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, he surrendered. Shishyasteham sadimam tvam prapanam. In the second chapter, he surrenders to Krishna. But it takes him 17 chapters to actually... He accepts Krishna in the beginning. He wants to hear from Krishna. But he says, Govinda, I shall not wait. So Krishna has to take 17 chapters to finally convince him to surrender. Only at the end, this 18th chapter, does Krishna ask Arjuna, so now are you convinced? Sarvadhamam parichaja? Are you going to surrender? Arjuna says, yes, all my doubts, all my illusions are cleared. So most people, they have knowledge, but knowledge is mayaya parita jnana. It just bewilders them. Even Bhaktivinod, he describes how it was so difficult for him. Because he said he was looking for the Bhagavatam. But he said when you ask people about the Bhagavatam, they'll say, oh, this are just folk tales, folk stories. Another person will say, oh, this is just some mythology, Krishna and all that, just some mythology. Another person will say, oh, no, this is just village gossip. Like sometimes you go to Varshan and they'll sing some village songs about Krishna. It's something like that. Nothing very important. So then Bhaktivinoda said, finally when I got a copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita and I understood the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then I was able to finally grasp and understand and appreciate the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So it is not just a question of knowledge. It requires more than that. But in the West, in India probably also, generally speaking, knowledge means something to entertain. You speculate and you get, but you don't get involved. Because when you get involved, then you lose perspective. You lose indifference, or you lose the possibility of being objective. Because now it's like they say, love is blind. Once you're in love, then you're blinded by that person. So if you accept philosophy, Jai Jai Shishi Gonita Shri Krishna Balaram Shishi Varishyam Lalita Vishaka. So when you accept some kind of philosophy, then you get implicated, and then you cannot be objective. So the idea of course, nowadays most people, they're not even philosophically inclined. Most people, they're just sudras. They just want to know how to make money, how to raise a family, these kind of things. And if they're a little bit more, maybe they want to get involved in politics to help the people, or Daridra Narayan, help the poor. You know, these things are seen. So in this way, people have so many ideas of what the goal of life is. That if you can do something like that, that is very good. Help the poor. Especially in India, this is a big thing. Of course, all over the world, to help the poor is a big thing, because it seems something very tangible. As if Krishna is an idiot, he doesn't know how to feed people. He can't take care of people. We have to be better than God, and we have to create something, some system in place by which people will be fed, because somehow God is sleeping somewhere, and he's aloof, he's uncaring. But we create all these foolish situations of borders, and for economic reasons we throw so much grain in the ocean to keep the prices high. They actually recently in Canada, they made a study, where I'm from Canada, they made a study that 70% of all the food is thrown away for so many reasons. 70%. One reason, the tomatoes are not shaped the way people want to buy them. They don't have the color. The carrot is flipped. It's not nice carrot. So like that, people want to see good fruits and vegetables. If there's a little blemish, a little spot, no, they don't want to buy it. Then in transportation, in storage, so much food is wasted. Then in a restaurant, in preparing most people eat in a restaurant, preparing that, then all the good parts, and so they throw so much. And most people, they order so much they cannot eat, so they just throw it like that. So there's so much food being wasted. So if I give you a gift and you next day I find it in the garbage, will I give you another gift? So these fools, they think that God is giving them so much food and they're throwing it away with their complicated systems. You know, people in the Vedic time, they would have their gardens in the backyard. So you just go and you pick your thing. Now they transport it all over the world. So for sure, there'll be so much waste. So why would God give them more? Why would Krishna give them more? So we see in our Krishna consciousness, even recently in our own sampradaya, we see how Bhaktisiddhanta, he was Shrutidhar. Even at the age of 7, he knew the whole Bhagavad Gita by heart. But his guru, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, is perceived to be someone who was illiterate. And when Bhaktisiddhanta first approached Gaurakishore Das Babaji for Diksha initiation, Gaurakishore told him, "We'll have to consider that. That I'm not sure." So later, Bhaktisiddhanta came again requesting Diksha. Then Gaurakishore said, "That we'll have to ask Mahaprabhu." So then some time went again. Then finally he came, Bhaktisiddhanta, requesting again Diksha. Gaurakishore said, "Oh, I forgot to ask. I forgot to ask Mahaprabhu." So again he came later. And this time he was so determined, Bhaktisiddhanta, that he was going to commit suicide. At that time, Gaurakishore could see this person very serious for bhakti. He is not proud of his knowledge, his scholarship. This was a concern that Bhaktisiddhanta is so scholarly. He may accept me now and later reject me. Who am I now? So when he could see, Bhaktisiddhanta was not impressed. Actually, Bhaktisiddhanta, in the beginning, we know he was doing astronomy and so forth. He got the title Siddhanta Sarasvati because of that. But when he took Diksha, then he rejected all these things. Then he didn't pay attention to these things. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the same thing. In the beginning, he would be debating and so forth. But then, after his father passed away, Jagannath Mishra, he went to Gaya to do the Shraddha ceremony. And he met Ishvara Puri and he took initiation. When he came back, he was totally transformed. Then he was not interested in grammar and scholar and speculation and all this argument. Then he started introducing his Sankirtan movement and the chanting of the holy name. Because as long as one does not take Diksha, doesn't have a spiritual master, then he's hovering on the mental platform, debating this, debating that. And the scriptures, even Srila Vyasadeva, incarnation of Krishna, he was also feeling very discouraged. He had written all the Vedas, but he was feeling within his heart discouraged that I've written all this and still I'm not feeling satisfied. So he was bewildered, although he had so much knowledge. He wrote all the Vedas, I mean, so much knowledge he had. But then when Narada Muni came, then he surrendered to Narada Muni, and Narada Muni told him, "The problem is that although you've written all this, the discrepancy, the problem is you have not really glorified Krishna. And that is the fault in all your writings. And the problem will be that these people become distracted by this and they will not take to Krishna consciousness." So then he wrote the Bhagavatam after that direction. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the same way. He, after he came back from Gaya, then he started the Sankirtan movement and he started doing Nam Sankirtan everywhere. And his biggest opponents, of course, there were some Muslims they were opposing. They went to complain to Chankazi that prior these Hindus, they were quiet. They were fearful. But now they're coming up again with some enthusiasm. So you have to do something. But his main opponents, the main critics came from the Brahmins, those smarter Brahmins. They went to see Chankazi, telling him, "You have to do something about this Nimai Pandit. He's going to ruin our whole religion. He's chanting the names of God." Okay, these names can be chanted, but silently. Mona in the mind, not publicly, and everyone is drawing so many people, so many unqualified people, and our religion will be ruined. So you're their king, you have to do something. If you don't do something, then we'll go and complain to the big person in Puri. So Chankazi came and he broke the mridanga, and we know the story. Then finally Lord Chaitanya made the civil disobedience, and finally he met Chankazi, and there were some discussions and so forth, and Chankazi was convinced. But later again these smarter Brahmins caused another problem, because one day Chaitanya was chanting Gopi, 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 and not understanding the mind of Chaitanya, they said, why don't you chant Hare Krishna? Why are you chanting this Gopi, Gopi? And in his mood of ecstasy, as we Janardhan was telling us yesterday about Madhavendra Puri, Ramachandra Puri was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, and when Madhavendra Puri was leaving his body, he was complaining that I have not attained love of God. So this Ramachandra Puri so fully said, well, why don't you think of Brahman? Why are you lamenting? He couldn't understand the mood of the Vaishnavas. Brahma, what is that verse? Brahma Bhuta Prasannat Mana Sochati Nakanchati Samasa Vesh Bhuta Shumad Bhakti Madhuti Param. That the devotee is situated on the Brahman platform, he doesn't hanker lament. So why are you lamenting? He couldn't understand. So similarly, these students of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nimai Pandit, some of his friends, they started criticizing him. That why are you chanting this Gopi Gopi thing? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran after them, wanting to beat them. And they took off. And then they grouped with some others. And they started, who is this Nimai Pandit thinks he is? Well, after all, we're also Brahmins. He think he can beat us up like this? He can threaten us? Next time he comes around, we'll beat him. And everywhere they would see Chaitanya, Nimai Pandit, they would criticize him. So then Nimai was feeling very despondent, very discouraged, that he disclosed this to Advaita Acharya, that I've come to deliver some medicine, but that medicine has become poison. Because now everyone is criticizing me. So if they're criticized, then they'll go to hell. What to do? So this was a problem for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then he thought, okay, then if I take sannyas, then they'll be forced to respect me. Because this is social convention, that you see a sannyasi, scriptures, that you see a sannyasi, and then you have to offer obeisances. Somehow Lord Chaitanya crossed the Ganges, although he had told his mother, because earlier his brother Vishwarup took sannyas. And Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra were very discouraged, they were very sad at this, to see this, and they were afraid that this will also happen to our Nimai, because he's also going to see that Advaita. This is the cause. Vishwarup was going to hear Katha from Advaita Acharya, and now he is left. And Nimai used to go there, because sometimes when Vishwarup was late, then they would say, go get Vishwarup for lunch. Nimai would go there, and sometimes he would hear and sit. So they were very much afraid that this will also happen. And then what will happen to us? Of course, they were very attached. Who would not be attached? This is God Himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, they were very concerned. So Chaitanya said, no, Mata, I had a dream. Vishwarup came to me in a dream, and he was pulling me to take sannyas. Come with me and take sannyas. But I told him, no, I cannot do. I will become grihastha. Like that. So his parents were very, very happy that this would... And he did. He married Lakshmi Devi. But then when he was gone on preaching to East Bengal, Lakshmi Devi left her body in separation. So then again he married Vishnupriya. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his father had passed away, Jagannath Mishra. There was just his mother and his wife. But for the sake of the whole world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left them and went and took sannyas. So that people would be able to at least have some respect some favorable attitude towards Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, towards Nimai, who had taken sannyas. So after he took sannyas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling so much ecstasy. He didn't go back. Actually, that wasn't his plan to go to Shantipur, back to Nadia. He wanted to go to Vrindavan. But Nityananda, understanding the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he forced him to go back because there was something, some business that was not resolved. This offense that Sachi had made, she had not cleansed herself of that offense. And Nityananda, so somehow he tricked Lord Chaitanya to bring him. He even told the cowherd boys, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw some cowherd boys and he was in ecstasy. So he told the cowherd boys, if the sannyasi inquires, tell him yes, this is Vrindavan, like that. So he brought him all the way to the Ganges and he told them that this... So Lord Chaitanya was surprised to see Nityananda, what are you doing here? You've come to Vrindavan also? Yes. And he had Lord Chaitanya bathe in the Yamuna. But he told Acharya Ratna that you go, meanwhile, go and get Advaita. Tell Advaita to come here, that Chaitanya is here. So then Advaita came by boat. And Lord Chaitanya was surprised that what is Advaita doing here? Does some trick now. Now I know there's some trick going on. So he said, now Nityananda has tricked me. And no, Advaita said no. Yes, he said this was a Yamuna. He said, oh, yes, on this side is the Yamuna. But on that side is the Ganges. So you actually bathed in the Yamuna. So then he was brought to Advaita Acharya's house. And actually all the inhabitants of Shantipur, they were so happy. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just left. And he took sannyas like that. He didn't make a big advertisement. Knowing well that everyone would be so discouraged. So he just took off and did it. So when he came back, all the devotees were so happy to see him. And Advaita Acharya invited Lord Chaitanya to his house for lunch. And then they invited Sachimata, and Lord Chaitanya said, no, I don't want to see her face. So they were all surprised. You don't want to see your mother? No, I don't want to see her face. Because she's Vaishnava Parad, she's made some great offense. What offense has she done? She's offended Advaita Acharya. For this, I will not forgive her. So anyway, some arrangement was made. She came. Of course, Advaita Acharya had not seen any offense. He was saying, no, how can you say that she made any offense towards me? Anyway, she apologized. Advaita Acharya was happy. Everyone was happy. And then she started cooking for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although so many people were inviting Lord Chaitanya to their house, she pleaded with them, please, I will never see my son again. But you'll be able to. But I'm an old lady. I will not be able to travel. Will not be able to follow Lord Chaitanya wherever he goes. So please allow me to cook this occasion. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went and begged forgiveness from his mother, saying that, I don't know what happened to me. I became mad somehow. And some influence was there and I took sannyas. Actually, this body belongs to you. So I should have never... Now I've taken sannyas. So what can be done? So his mother requested somehow that, okay, well, if I stay here, that people will criticize me. And if I go somewhere, then you'll lament. So what to do? So it was resolved that he should stay at Jagannath Puri. At least that way, so many devotees from Bengal would go to Jagannath Puri and they would come back and she would get some news of Lord Chaitanya in that way. So there was a big festival at Advaita Acharya. Nityananda came, Avadhut, and then there was some playful activity that Advaita Acharya made some plates, three plates. So Lord Chaitanya said, okay, we will take a little bit off the plates, thought that this was Maha Prasad, we'll take and we'll eat. And Advaita said, no, don't get complicated here, just sit here, and Nityananda, you sit here, and I will deal with the whole thing. And Lord Chaitanya said, I cannot eat all this food. He said, don't try to trick me. In Jagannath Puri, you eat 52 offerings a day. So just sit. And of course, Advaita Acharya, Nityananda playing the Avadhut, he said, oh, I've been fasting for 3 days. Today I thought I would break my fast, so little food is there. So then Advaita Acharya started telling Nityananda that I understand you've become an Avadhut just to fill up your belly. Sometimes we're also accused of that. Yeah? I remember on Sankirtan years ago, I don't know if they still do that because I haven't been on Sankirtan so much these days, but at least not book distribution, but he used to tell us, go get a job. Yeah? Just begging on the street. So sometimes the Vaishnavas, they were considered like that. If you're useless, you can't do anything, okay, become a Vaishnav and just go beg somewhere, beg on the street. This is why Bhaktisiddhanta, he wanted his disciples, his sannyasis, to dress very nicely, opulently. Because he said, when you go and see the rich people, if you're just dressed like a beggar, they'll treat you like that. So then dress nicely. Not too opulently, but nicely, so people will have some respect. They won't be embarrassed. Actually, in Vedic times, no one would stop a sannyasi from going anywhere. Because sannyasi is neutral. He's not involved in politics. He's not involved. He's just Krishna Katha. The Prabhupada said, but in Kali Yuga, now only the women are allowed to go anywhere. Even the sannyasis are blocked. Anyway, so Advaita Acharya told Nityananda that you've just come as an avadut to fill your belly. I understand, but I'm a poor Brahmin. I can't give you all this. So you be satisfied with what I can provide you with. Don't ask for more. And Chaitanya, he was saying, too much food, I cannot eat all this. So in this way, they had some loving relationships amongst themselves. So this is actually what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us, transcendental pastime, some loving relationship. And that takes place when we actually surrender to Krishna. This is the nature of the soul, to surrender, to be humble. And the nature of the false ego is to be proud and arrogant. Prakriti kriyamana ni gunai karmani savasa hankara vimudatma katahang iti manyati. Living entity in his bewildered state, he thinks he's the doer. We acquire knowledge and we become proud, then we should understand that we're not on the transcendental position. Because real knowledge brings us to the stage of being humble, being a servant, to see ourselves as Jivira Swarupoi Nitya Krishna Das, as eternal servants of Krishna. That is our eternal position. And the knowledge that we're trying to get is, first of all, Sambandha Gyan. Who am I? What is the goal of life? Who is God? Abhideya. Then what is my relationship with God? How to serve Krishna? There's an art, there's a way of serving Krishna. It is not sahajya. That, oh, some people have sentimental idea, oh, I just love God, I do what I want. No, it's not like that. Because we don't know what love of God is. As long as we're on the bodily platform, we don't know. Even if we try to, it is mixed with karma mishra, jnana mishra bhakti. It is not pure bhakti. So bhakti really begins at the stage of brahma-bhuta prasannatma, when one is freed of the bodily platform. But we're engaged in bhakti through the agency of the spiritual master. This is the mercy of the spiritual master, that he allows our service to be accepted. He purifies it and he offers it to Krishna. But we cannot offer to Krishna. We have no relationship with Krishna. That relationship has been severed. Our coming to the material world has severed our relationship with Krishna. So now, how to reawaken that relationship? That requires practice. It requires time. We have to show Krishna that we only want Him. We don't want anything else. Krishna does not accept anything else. And as, when there's some mixture, then that is not something that Krishna can accept. It has to be pure bhakti. Unmotivated, uninterrupted. This is what Rupa Goswami describes in the Nectar of Devotion. No ambition for pratishtha, profit, distinction, adoration. And we have to be careful because we're a big society. That tendency is there for that pratishtha. Because sometimes with that pratishtha comes facilities. We get the garland, we get the maha plate, we get recognition, we're standing in the front, so forth and so on. But we have to remember, Bhaktisiddhanta said, don't try to see God. But try to do something by which God will want to see you. So that is to be our mentality. That let me try to do something by which Krishna will recognize my service, will recognize something. Although it is very difficult because we're Anu, we're so small, what can we do? Krishna is Bhagavan. He's so great, and we're so small. So it is not easy. We're 10,000 times the tip of a hair. So we're pretty insignificant when you think about it. So the ego, the false ego, the pride, the arrogance, these things are very detrimental for the service of a Vaishnava. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described these to be the weeds growing in the garden. When you're growing, so many weeds will grow along with that. So the Vaishnava has to be very careful. We see how humble the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were. Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they never took disciples because they felt themselves fallen. Even when they would go to Jagannath Puri, they would not stay with a group of Vaishnavas. They would stay with a Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to, after going to Navadvip, then he went to Jagannath Puri. So Haridas Thakur, he was lamenting, then how will I go there? I'm a Muslim. Where will I stay? So Chaitanya said, I will ask Jagannath to make some arrangement for you. So when Haridas Thakur went to Jagannath Puri, he was staying further out for fear that if someone sees my face, they'll become so contaminated. They'll have to bathe in the holy waters. And Sanatana Rupa, because they had worked for Nawab Shah, the Muslim king, they felt themselves very fallen. So they also kept themselves at a distance. Like that, this is the mood of the Vaishnava. He doesn't think, oh, now I'm so great, I've learned a few verses, I've done this, now I'm extraordinary Vaishnava. Everyone should look at me. But this is not the mood. The mood is to feel oneself at the same time not so fallen that one doesn't do anything. One time on the morning walk, one devotee was saying, Prabhupada, I'm so fallen. He said, you're not number one in anything. In other words, don't be proud. There's another kind of pride. Oh, I'm so fallen. I'm the most humble. Amongst all these devotees, I'm the most humble. I'm the most fallen. Another kind of pride. Oh, I cannot do anything. I'm too fallen. I can't chant Hare Krishna because I'm too fallen. I can't serve. I remember this one devotee telling me, he said, no, to reach Goloka is too far. To reach Vaikuntha is too far. I'll try to just reach the Brahman. That's not our philosophy. We're not the doers. We're supposed to simply be instrument. This is what Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana, he had boils on his body so much that when Chaitanya would embrace him, the pus would come on the arms of Lord Chaitanya. And he was feeling so bad. But at the same time, Sanatana, he was so exalted that when the worms would fall, he would pick that worm up and put it back on his body. Imagine. I just get one little mosquito bite and I'm totally disturbed. Where's the mosquito repellent? Where's the zappers? But he would take the worms and put them back on his body. That this is their food. Like that. And he was feeling so bad that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he embraces me, he would say, no, Mahaprabhu, do not. No, I'm Sanatana, I'm touching you just for my own purification. So in this way, Sanatana was very disturbed. He was thinking, I cannot continue like this. So when Rath Yatra comes, I will jump in front of the wheels of the Rath Yatra and I will end my life. So of course, Chaitanya, understanding the mind of Sanatana, he told him, Sanatana, what are you thinking? You've given your body to me. This body belongs to me. Now you want to destroy it? How is that possible? I have so much service that I want to do through you. That you cannot commit suicide. And then again he embraced Sanatana Goswami, and then all the pus, all the disease, everything went away. So this is what we're trying to accomplish in Krishna consciousness. We're not trying to become big scholars. We're trying to follow the order of our spiritual master. It's a simple thing. Prabhupada said, this Krishna consciousness is so simple, you might miss it. It's so simple. This is the act of offering our consciousness to Krishna. Krishna consciousness. That's all we have. We don't have anything else. We have a small independence. That independence is our consciousness. We can offer that to Krishna, or we can refuse to offer it to Krishna. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is external. But that act of... And I have a little story, a personal story I can tell of that. That one of... I first started seeing devotees when I was in Ottawa, in Canada. They had no temple then. Devotees used to come from Montreal. Montreal, as you know, was the second temple opened. First it was New York, and a third, San Francisco, then Montreal. Because Prabhupada had to renew his green card. So he had to go out of the country. So he came to Montreal, and then he preached and different devotees. And from there we know that the Yamuna and Malati and Shamusundar and Guru Das, they came to Montreal, they were inspired by Prabhupada, and then they went to London, opened a temple there. So devotees would come from Montreal to Ottawa and they would do Harinam. And I was young, so maybe 13 or so, so I didn't much pay attention. I would see these people wearing saffron. In those days they had everything saffron. Sweaters saffron, the running shoes saffron, the socks were saffron, the Brahmin thread was saffron, everything saffron. But later on, I was working in a store. This is called the Barwood Market. It's a farmer's market. Everyone comes there. And devotees were doing Harinam. And everyone was laughing and mocking them. And then we've all experienced that, doing Harinam. People react and they try to make things funny. And I was just seeing these devotees coming in front of the windshield of the store, the window of the store. And I was distracted. I wasn't continuing doing my work. So my boss saw me and he said, "Hey, how would you like to be one of those guys?" I didn't know what they were, really. I knew it was some kind of religious thing. But I was thinking, oh, these people are serious. Because I wouldn't be doing that for Jesus. I was a Christian. And I wouldn't be getting myself humiliated like that, laughed at by the people, you know, for Jesus. So I thought, these people are very serious. And 6 months later, I became a devotee. So that's it. The devotee is very serious. They were just trying to follow Prabhupada. I'm sure those devotees were just new devotees. They didn't know much of the philosophy. There weren't many books out then. Maybe the first Bhagavatam, Nectar Devotion, maybe a few. Lord Chaitanya teachings, what was it called? Forget that one book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya maybe. So there wasn't much scholarship, but the devotees had firm faith in Prabhupada. Whatever Prabhupada said, devotees would just, this is it. And this was the nice thing about Krishna consciousness and Prabhupada. It was black and white. There was no gray. Prabhupada would say this and everyone would say that. It was simple. And Prabhupada would blast everyone and we were so happy. And Prabhupada said, "I'm calling these scientists fools and rascals, and they're accepting it." Yeah. But Prabhupada wasn't proud. One time Prabhupada gave a big lecture in London, and after the engagement, the devotees in the car were telling Prabhupada, "Oh, Prabhupada, your preaching was so powerful. You gave them a blow, and then another blow, another blow, and like a boxer, you know?" And Prabhupada said, "No." He stopped them. He said, "No, I'm simply a servant of Chaitanya. Simply a servant of Krishna." He wasn't trying to get all this adoration and glorification. Of course, this is natural, the devotees, natural to glorify the spiritual master. That's the role. But Prabhupada wasn't impressed. I was also here in 76 Prabhupada was coming and he was paying obeisances. And I was a little bewildered because Prabhupada would offer obeisances and one devotee touched Prabhupada's feet. Prabhupada got up and chastised him, "Don't touch my feet." So I was surprised. And Prabhupada came, then took Charanamrita. Then he came here. And here we're all offering him flowers, touching his feet, offering artik. I was maybe 18, 19 years old. So I was bewildered. What is this? This right here, we're touching his feet, he's chastising. Here we're glorifying him, no problem. Then I thought a bit and I thought, yes, here he's a bhakta, he's honoring Krishna as a devotee, so we shouldn't touch his feet. But here, he's being honored as the representative of Krishna. So then, it is proper. So Krishna consciousness, sometimes it's like that. It is very subtle, very bewildering. Another time, Gurudas was telling me that he was in Mayapur, and they were at that time trying to build Prabhupada's Bhajan Kutir in Mayapur. So he was going every day and asking Prabhupada, where should it be located, and how should it be built, and so forth and so on. So Prabhupada would give some information. So one day he came and he said, "Prabhupada, I wanted some more detail about that house of yours." I said, "There's no house. Get out." So he was surprised. "How's this? Yesterday we were having long conversation. Prabhupada's telling this detail, that detail. Today I come back, he throws me out." Then he realized, it's how I approached it. Bhajan Kutir for Swami is okay. But a house, no house for a sannyasi, that's a grihastha. So he said, my approach was improper. Then he came back to Prabhupada and said, "But your bhajan kutir." And then Prabhupada said, okay. So Prabhupada was very specific about things. One time in New Vrindavan, devotees very enthusiastically, they made cookies for Prabhupada in the shape of a cow. Very cute. Huh? We'd like to see cows, no? So they made some little cookies like that, in the shape of a cow, and they gave that to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, "You want me to eat the cow?" Prabhupada did not eat them. He didn't take them. Mm-hmm. So like that, there's many little details. So that is knowledge, but is knowledge how to serve Krishna. It's not the kind of knowledge that will become arrogant. Because the basis is still that I'm a servant of Krishna. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that enthusiasm is the desire to serve the spiritual master precisely. It's not the mode of passion. It's quite different. Enthusiasm means that we want to follow. And even Prabhupada used to say that. That I'm following my spiritual master blindly. What will be the result? I do not know. Many times you'll hear Prabhupada said that. I don't know what the result. He was amazed that Krishna consciousness spread. And then when he would say sometimes that, "Oh Swamiji," some people would tell, "Oh Swamiji, you've done such a great thing." Prabhupada would say, "I do not know if I've done something. The only thing I can take credit for is I somehow tried to follow the order of my spiritual master." So this is the same thing here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was attracted to this simple Brahmin because he had that quality, that he had surrendered to the order of his spiritual master. All these other angas, knowledge, austerity, this thing, that may not attract Krishna. What attracts Krishna is that simple desire to please Krishna. And that's not an easy thing. Because it means giving ourselves. That's difficult, to give ourselves. We can give money, like a grihastha, you have children. It's easy to give money to our children and things like that. But to give our time, ourselves, very difficult. Now most parents, they turn on the TV, put on the video, put the kid there, and okay, he's good for 5 hours. Watch some video. They have no time to spend. But Prabhupada was different. He had so much time. He was not in a hurry. He had time. So this is what we have. We have our consciousness. We want to spend time with Krishna. And the simplest is just to chant Hare Krishna. But the problem, I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I want Krishna. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. But my mind is somewhere else. What's wrong with me? I'm schizophrenic or something? I have a problem. Because consciously, I'm here, I'm wearing dhoti, tilak, everything, and I want Krishna. Oh, Krishna, please come. But when I chant japa, my mind is somewhere else. That means I haven't understood something. Something is amiss. That Krishna is here. Just, that's all we need. Vaishnava, all he needs is his beadbag. That's all. We don't need 50,000 things. Even these temples, we don't need. We have these temples and so forth. But this is to attract the mass of people. But for ourselves as Vaishnavas, we should be content with the simply... That doesn't mean we neglect our temples and No, everything should be going on. Don't misunderstand. But the essence of our Krishna consciousness is chanting. That's what Lord Chaitanya came to give us. Golokera Pramadan Harinam Sankirtan. From Golok has come this Sankirtan movement. But the problem is we don't see the value of chanting, at least speaking for myself. I can go on a few more minutes and then we'll stop. Because the thing is that if you give me $1,000, then I know the value. Immediately I'll put it in my pocket. I'll protect that. Oh, this person, he's gone insane, he's given me $1,000. But if you give $1,000 to a child, he doesn't know the value. You can easily exchange that for another piece of paper, colored paper. He'll easily give you that $1,000. Because he doesn't know the value. So we have to, at least myself, I have to learn the value of chanting Hare Krishna. All these other techniques are good, we can learn. But the essence is that if I value chanting Hare Krishna, then my mind will not go anywhere. Then I'll feel so grateful that Krishna is so kind, he's allowing me to chant his name. So this is the essence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We'll be celebrating his appearance day in a few days. We can all think of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can all try to read some pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and consider ourselves very blessed that we're here in Vrindavan. This is all due to Srila Prabhupada, that somehow we've come in touch to Krishna consciousness. And we can appreciate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu allowing us to be here and Lord Nityananda, and in this way try to make some progress so that one day we can develop pure love for Krishna. And what will we accomplish when we have that pure love? We will simply serve Krishna. That's all we're trying to do. We're simply trying to learn how to serve Krishna. Such a simple thing. But because we're bewildered, we're complicated, we have so many misunderstandings, then it is very difficult. But with time, even a drop of water will pierce a stone. So with time, if we give ourselves time, eventually our hearts will be pierced by the drops of this Krishna consciousness and we'll be able to experience the bliss and pleasure that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give us. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. I don't know if we should have questions. No. But is there any questions just in case? Okay. Hari Bol.